It's a blessing to see everyone here this morning to worship our God together. This morning in class, if you were there, Rick has been, and if you've been in class, you know that Rick has been talking about our perspective. And one of the words that he used this morning was priorities. And priorities is really what I've been thinking about lately. Specifically, I've been thinking about it in terms of the work that I do. And I think, we all reflect on how we're doing in work. And I do as well. And I reflect on how, my priorities and what my priorities are have a real impact on that. And that's not something that's strictly about preaching and preachers, but that's something that applies to really to all of us. I've been thinking about beginning being a preacher, and I know you really don't want to hear about me this morning, but this is not about me. This is about God, and I think about how things have changed, and there's still a whole lot of things that I'm trying to figure out. There's still a whole lot of things that I'm doing, but things are not, for lack of a better word, things are not as stressful as they were when I first started proclaiming our Lord Jesus Christ. Things get easier over time. That's obvious, and it's like that with most anything that we do. But really, I think what has changed is the realization of something, and it's something that I really have always known. But hopefully, I'm starting to get closer and closer to doing that. And that is the realization that God is the highest priority. It is about God, and it is like that again for every one of us. It would change the way that we viewed our entire life if we would just apply that fact to our lives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, he says, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care, or will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." If we seek God first, if we prioritize God first and his kingdom first, then we will be taken care of. And also with that, we will also receive the kingdom. If we don't prioritize God first, I'm not saying that we will not be taken care of. That's not my point. But the thing is that if we do not prioritize first, then we feel like he is not taking care of us. And then these questions arise. I feel like that's where these questions that he's bringing up come from. Where will we eat? Where will we drink? If God is our highest priority, we do not have these questions. But if God is not our priority, then we lose sight. Then we begin to struggle. Then we begin to fear. And I know that. I know that. And that's a hard thing to know that, because I also know that I don't always live that way. But it's also a wonderful thing to know that. Because I know that, I know what the end goal is. I know what's important. The question is just how I can beg my Lord to help me to get to that point and to help me to that point. And the wonderful thing is that you know that too. We were, some of the young families have been having a Bible study recently. We had one just the other night, had one on Friday night, and we've been going through 1 John. And those that John were writing to in this letter were definitely having some struggles and some things that he needed to be firm with, and he was firm with some spots. But there's also just so much that's encouraging in the way that John approaches this letter to these brethren. In 1 John 2 and verse 12, he says, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." John, when he's writing this, he's not saying, you bunch of worthless people. Like, why don't you listen? You are weak. You don't do what's right. John is not saying that. He says, you are strong. You do have Christ. It's not that they don't have hope. They know Christ. And because they know Christ, then they know that they can have hope. That's the same thing with us. We know Christ. And so we know that we can have hope. And that's what I love, standing up here before a group of Christians that know God, that love God. We know what our priorities should be. We know that God should be first in our life. We know that one of our greatest priorities is to be the church that God calls us to be. We know that, and we want to do that. Now, sometimes our priorities are not always what we want them to be. Sometimes knowing that is sometimes we still don't do it, even though we know it. But priorities can change. They have for us, and we know that they can. And so there is hope for us. And there's hope to change. Just like, and again, just, well, I guess I'll tell you what even got me started thinking about all this. I mentioned that I've been thinking about just starting preaching. And a lot of things have changed for me. And really what got me thinking about this is the fact that we have a fifth Sunday today, and then we have a potluck. One of the first lessons that I ever did with this congregation before I actually started preaching full time here, but Rick was getting ready to retire, and the elders were having young men come and do the lessons for the congregations, and they asked me to do one of them. It was on a fifth Sunday, and I don't really remember the full scope of what was happening. I don't know if I had already asked about, hey, maybe I can try out and be a preacher here. I don't really remember, but I remember that it was the fifth Sunday. Because I don't remember what the AM lesson was about. I think it was Lamentations, but the PM lesson I remember was about Hezekiah and his illness, because I made a comment of how ill I was standing up there after the potluck lunch was in me, and just how stuffed I felt. But that was just looking back on that's such a big moment in my life. It really was, and it was a big moment because of where I am now. Again, I'm still trying to figure things out, but this is who I am. I'm a proclaimer of God. I'm a proclaimer of Christ. And that moment was a part of that. And it was a big moment. And we learn big lessons from big moments in our life. So I just want to bring you just three quick thoughts about priorities. Just from thinking about that fellowship meal not too long, or I mean, it was years ago now. But one of the things I was thinking about was, back then, and that fifth Sunday, years ago, we had a fellowship meal. We're having a fellowship meal today, which means, obviously, we still have fellowship. Our fellowship did not break after I started preaching here. Which, that's kind of a silly thing, except, change is hard. Not everybody handles change well. And a lot of things has changed from that point. And it's not just Rebecca and I coming here. A lot of things have changed. There's a whole lot of things that are different, and things that have changed. And we like the way that things are. There's a lot of us that are not very flexible, not very bendable. We like things the way that we like them, and when they start to change, that scares us. Change can be scary, and we do silly things whenever we're scared. Sometimes we run away when we're scared. And that's not always a bad thing. There's some situations when that's good, but it's bad when we run away from being God's people. Angry people are not God's people. We can get angry during times of change. Fearful people are not God's people. We can be fearful in times of change. Selfish people are not God's people. We can be selfish during times of change. And all of this happens. We become angry. We become fearful. We become selfish whenever we are not prioritizing what is truly important. Change has wrecked a whole lot of lives in this life. And we know that. And change has wrecked a whole lot of congregations in this life. And we know that. But it didn't here, because our love for each other has stayed the same. And our love for God has stayed the same. We are an example that change does not have to mess everything up. And it doesn't have to mess everything up. And in fact, we know a whole lot of Christians in this life that have gone through some pretty big changes in their life, whether it be loss or whatever it may be, and they're still going strong. And if we use the same secret technique, which is not really a secret technique because we all know what it is, then the same will be true for us as well. And that is prioritizing the most important thing, which is God, and it is each other. And I want to point out here that you cannot separate those two things. You cannot separate those two things. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." That is the greatest commandment, is to love God totally. But he says, and the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when this man approaches Jesus and he asks what is the greatest commandment, he doesn't even say anything about the second greatest commandment. He didn't have to. Jesus put it out there for him, because you cannot have one without the other. You cannot fulfill the first, loving God with all of your heart, without striving for the second, which is loving our neighbor and loving each other as ourselves. There was a lot during the first century, a lot of people who weren't doing that, who actually weren't doing either. Change was a very big stumbling block for a lot of the people, a lot of the Jews within the first century. And it's not that God's plan to make people his people changed whenever Jesus came. It was fulfilled when Jesus came. But when that happened and Jesus came, that caused some changes to things. And so there was some change that was required. Now, having all that said, there was a lot of the spiritual leaders of the time that needed to change anybody anyway because what they were doing was sinful. They were not loving God, and they certainly were not loving others. And so when Jesus came, and all of a sudden, and when John came as well, and all of a sudden there's we need to change is put before them. To be pleasing to God, we need to change is put before them. Instead of prioritizing that fact, instead of prioritizing God, there was so much prioritizing and thinking about how this change is going to affect my status, or how this change is going to affect my traditions, or how this change is going to affect my income, or whatever it may be. It is not about how this change is going to affect me. It is how I am going to hold on to God, who does not change throughout all of this. But instead, because of this prioritization of themselves, instead of God, they separated themselves farther and farther from God. And that's, if you were to think about change, that's something that change does a lot, right? It separates. We see that lives are separated from happiness because of change, or we see that congregations are separated. And it will happen in a lot of instances of change if we allow it to separate us from God. Change splits congregations that think more about themselves than about God and each other. And change causes so much fear in life because we forget God who watches over us. Because we forget God who takes care of us. Wherever you point your steering wheel, that is where your car is going to go. And the same is true with our life as well. If we point our lives more and more on ourselves and thinking about ourselves and all of our feelings. And I'm not saying that our feelings are not important. I'm just saying, what is the first and second greatest commandments here? If we point ourselves away from being who God desires us to be, then we point ourselves away from God. I want to point out this about God. Psalm 104 and verse 5, it says this about God. He established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. God has secured his creation. Think about how marvelously everything works together, how marvelously everything is held together. And there's some crazy things that happen in God's creation, not because of God, but because of the things that we do. And yet God still does not allow it to get out of hand. He still holds everything together. Do you not think that he can do that for our lives as well? He can do that for our lives as well. And doesn't it make sense if he does that for our life, that if we get farther away from him, we feel more and more shakable, more and more unsteady in our lives? Change doesn't have to ruin our lives because change does not change God, does not affect him. We read in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And within the context of this, what we see going into in verse 9, the writer of Hebrews is pointing out that you do not have to be swept away by teachings that differ from what you know to be true. Again, we see in verse 9, do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. And that's obvious for doctrinal things. We can look at God's word and know what it says and not be carried away by different things, but it's just true about every aspect of our life. We can look at God's word and know what truth is, and know for a fact that God is good to those who seek him, that he holds on to those who are his people, and that Jesus is the same during change and during things that we fear and all of these things. And we can know that he's going to hold us. We do not have to be swept away by anything. And what did he say before this? Hebrews 13 and verse 7. He said, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Who was it that was speaking the word? The apostles. They faced this change too, that a lot of these Jewish leaders in the first century faced as well, and they didn't break. Why not? Why did this change not ruin the apostles? We see in Mark 1 and verse 17, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. The apostles were called to change some big things in their life. They were called to change their lives. They were called to change their livelihoods, to walk away from their possessions. They were called to change things that many of us would shiver to even think about. I mean, that's some scary things. But God said, "Follow me," and they followed. They prioritized God over their lives. And what is going to be the result if we imitate their faith? What was the result of their lives? They still faced hardships. They still faced troubles. And they still faced a whole lot of changes in their lives, even bigger changes than maybe they had faced before. But they were never broken. And in fact, really, the opposite happened. They got stronger than ever before. Change can negatively affect our life, which also means that it can also not affect our life for good. And what I mean by that is drifting from God weakens us. It's kind of the point that I've been making. And so isn't the opposite true as well? Doesn't getting closer to God strengthen us? Well, the absolute best time to get closer to God is right now, first of all. Right now is the best time to get closer to God. But it's a wonderful time to get closer to God when we are weak, when we are fearful, when we are at loss, whenever we are humbled. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 9, this is talking about, I guess he's relating what Jesus said to him when he's talking about his thorn in the flesh. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." It is during these times when we're fearful, these times where we feel humbled, that we seek our God not just to come and solve all of our problems, but to remind us to be content that He is the solution. And help us to remember that even into the times where things are good. It is God who is the firm foundation. It is God who holds us together, who can hold our lives together. It is prioritizing ourselves or other things that start to make our lives shaky. But it's not just about being held together that's important, but also doing something with that held togetherness. You think about a tool. A tool, if it's all in one piece, that's great, but it's still not doing anything. It's still not matching up to its potential unless you're doing something with it. That fifth Sunday, so many years ago, it was one of the biggest moments of my life, again, because of what I went on to do with it. I went on to be a preacher. And if I hadn't have, it still would have been a good moment. So it would have been a good opportunity. It still would have been wonderful fellowship that I had. It just wouldn't have the same meaning. Baptism is the biggest moment of our life if we have done that in faith. Being saved is the biggest moment of our life if we have done that in faith. Being taken on the title of one of God's children is the biggest moment of our life if we have done that in faith. But the question is, what do we do with that? What do we do after? Romans 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." We die to that old self whenever we are baptized into Christ. We die to that sin. We die to our marred conscience. We die we are freed, is what Paul is bringing out. And what happens then is we come into a new life. We are given something new. God gives us this brand new life, and the question is, what do we do with it? We have a new life that's free of guilt, that's free of sin. We have a new life that is headed towards the grandest and most spectacular end that we could ever imagine. But when we are baptized in faith and we put on this life that Christ gives us, we're given this new race to run. How are we going to run it? It is always the biggest moment of our life, and I guess what I don't want you to think that I'm saying up here is that it's not one of the biggest moments of your life if you don't go on to do something with it. That's not what I'm saying, because that moment will either condemn or confirm us. Either it's going to be that point in our life whenever we began the race, only to not finish it, or it's going to be the point in our life where we began the race and we were victorious in that race because we ran our lives, not for ourselves, but for God after that. Prioritizing God means adding meaning to the biggest moment of our life. It means that that moment was not for nothing. It means that that moment was the beginning of victory in our life, of conquering in our life through Jesus Christ who lives in us. If we are dead to sin, but alive and living to God through Christ Jesus. Which is, what an opportunity for us. And what an opportunity to be thankful. Which is really where I wanted to bring us to. I am so thankful to be here today. Again, thinking about that fifth Sunday years ago. So thankful to be here today. And I'm thankful to y'all, thankful to this congregation, but I'm thankful to God. Thankful to God, not just because I get to talk about Him and proclaim my love for Him, but because He loved me to give His Son for me. I do not deserve the home that I have been given. I'm not talking about the one next door. I'm not talking about here and happy. My home is not here. My home is with Him. And if you've been baptized into Christ, that's where your home is too. You're a citizen of heaven. We do not deserve that. We don't deserve that. Do you remember a man named Manasseh in the Old Testament? If you do, you probably don't bring up very good memories of him. Manasseh was one of the kings of Judah, and he was a very, very evil person. We read in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 6. It says about Manasseh, he made his sons pass through fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He sacrificed his children, and he practiced witchcraft, and he used divination, and he practiced sorcery, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Can you think of a good way to describe Manasseh? I think we probably can. Probably think of a lot of things to say about Manasseh. But what about enemy of God? I think that's probably a good descriptor of him. That's a pretty heavy descriptor. How would you like to be called an enemy of God? Well, the thing is that title is used of us who are in sin without Christ. And the thing is, that describes all of us at some point in our life. We read, though, in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. If we were enemies, enemies is what we were called, how much more shall we be saved by His life? How does that change our lives? When you think about that, Manasseh was punished in his life. If you go back and read that, you can definitely see that he was punished for what he did. But he was forgiven. He did not deserve that. And the honest truth is, we do not deserve it either. We were enemies of God. We were rejecters of God. We do not deserve the fact that he allowed his son to die for us. But he still allowed that to happen. We certainly do not deserve Christ Jesus, but we can have Christ Jesus. And so we should live for Christ, and we should be thankful doing so. We read in Colossians 2 and verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. If we walk in Christ, if we are in Christ Jesus, then we will be thankful. We will be thankful. And what I read here, this, we are to be overflowing with gratitude. That is not a commandment in the typical sense. He's not saying, thou shalt be joyful and thou shalt be thankful. The thing is, that is a fact. If we are rooted and walking in Christ, if we are in Christ and if we are serving Him to our fullest with all of our heart, soul, and mind, We will be thankful. If we prioritize God and realize how serving Him is such a blessing to others and it's such a blessing to us, if we are thinking about the sheer fact that we do not deserve a single thing that He has given us, if we are prioritizing how wonderful our God is, then guess what? We are going to be thankful. And if we are thankful, then we're going to prioritize God. Now, I want us to think about that. I just want us to just stop and think about all this descriptor of a life that we have here. We have a stable life. We have a meaningful life. We have a joyful life. That sounds pretty good. You know what it also sounds like? It sounds different. It sounds different than a lot of what we see out in the world. We don't see stability. We don't see meaningfulness. We don't see joy. But we get to experience that. And you know what else this sounds like? It sounds like God's people. It sounds like a people that seek the kingdom first. So, does it sound like us? If not, I'm going to say this is going to sound weird at first. If not, great. And not great because we have not been prioritizing God, but great because we're going to. Today is the day that's going to begin that change for us. We know who should be our greatest priority. We know that God is worthy of it. Prioritizing God will change our lives. So we know we're going to change our lives. And that can begin for you this morning by making today the greatest day of your life if you have not already. If you need to be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day for that. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you need a Savior this morning, if you're ready to repent of your old life and to walk into a new one, then please come forward and be baptized in our Lord while we stand and as we sing.